work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.3 Zolak and Bertrand. It's Hardy in for Beetle. Joining us now, investor slash operator with the New England Revolution, Jonathan Kraft, joining us now on the show. Jonathan, thanks for taking the time. How are you?
Hey, Hardy. Great. Hey, Zoe. And hey, thank you for the Metallica right there.
Absolutely.
That's just...
Can you name the song,
never get
Jonathan?
Enough Metallica.
Can,
huh?
can you name the song? That's the
Master of Puppets, isn't it? I only heard like the last 3 seconds she transferred you in. I heard Lars drumming.
Yeah, I wasn't
but
sure.
I only heard it. You were already playing the bed when she sent it to me.
Jonathan is
it was Master of Puppets, wasn't it?
I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah,
it was either
that
or
yeah.
One. There's a similar breakdown in One, but I think we were listening to Master.
Jonathan,
that wasn't One. Although you're right, the One thing is a little more rat-a-tat as opposed to the straight-on drumming. I don't know what the technical terms are, but Lars can drum.
Yeah, but we're talking to Mr. Music here, and he used to bring now... Jonathan, back in the day, when he had a little more hair on top, would bring Metallica.
I never had hair.
You remember when you brought him into our locker room at the old place, and Bill Parcells and Sander would be like, who the hell are these freaks?
Yeah. I want to talk Revs, but I'll tell you, the greatest story was bringing James Hetfield. Hetfield was a Raiders fan, and in 95... the Raiders played at the old Foxborough, yeah. And I introduced him to Al Davis, and he was excited to meet Al Davis, and I don't think Al Davis knew who he was, but he said afterwards, why don't you come in the locker room with me, and, you know, this is 95, and James has hair halfway down his back, and Al's walking in with him, and he saw especially the offensive linemen got very excited. They were the ones that knew Metallica, and as he walked them over to them, you know, and he saw them getting excited, and I was with them. Al goes, hey, guys, meet my friend Jimmy from that band, Heavy Metallic. You know Heavy Metallic, right? And he called, and I saw James, that Metallica played Gillette last summer, and James, we were talking about that, because back in the day, before we were both married with kids, we used to spend a little time together.
Ooh. I thought they sounded good.
We both were dating the women we ended up marrying.
I had an answer. But that would be a good hang, yeah.
Oh,
I would like
God.
That. Rich and I met.
Actually, Zoe, you and I went to a couple of Metallica shows together. I think one at the old Greywoods and one down at the Providence Civic Center. So
Providence Civic Center.
We were sitting there in the dress. Yeah, that's, all right, we should get off of this. This isn't a...
No, but you know what?
BCN anymore.
I'll bring it full circle, because you do have other tastes in music, and you brought the Indigo Girls into one of my starts down at Atlanta. We were at the brand new Georgia Dome, so it's not just rock and roll.
You know what? All types of music.
Yeah.
Anybody who's talented. Emily and Amy are incredibly talented musicians, and anyhow, you're right.
All right.
Full
so
circle.
I will bring it around here. You're into all kinds of music. And
actually, I got to do one thing since we're on music, too. I saw Bruce on Broadway this past week again. Anybody who remotely is interested in Bruce Springsteen needs to go see that show.
Was Reese there, Mike Reese?
If you can get tickets, I mean, I understand that's like the hottest ticket in town right now.
To say the show is amazing is a gross understatement.
All right.
It's through the roof.
This is the investor and operator of the Revolution.
Right, so watch this. He's into all kinds of music and into all kinds of sports as the investor operator of the New England Revolution.
Okay.
Jonathan Kraft here with us. See what I did there? I got to respect what we're talking about here. Jonathan, I'm glad you're on to talk about the Revs. I talk about them as I host the pre and halftime and post-game shows with Clyde Sims here on the Sports Hub. And I got to tell you, coming off that loss on Saturday, yeah. Clyde and I sat there stunned for 30 minutes after what happened with that game on Saturday. Do you even want to discuss that? Because
not
frankly,
really. I couldn't listen. I was going to tell you, I love your show. And I very rarely listen to post-game shows of any of our teams, but I enjoy listening. I think you and Clyde do a great job, and it's thoughtful, and we do well at home, so listening, I couldn't listen after that match. And, you know, being down a man for, I don't know, we lost Christian in the 22nd or 23rd minute, and we were down a man until the 85th minute, and we way outplayed the Galaxy, and we could have easily had 4 or 5 goals. We got 2, and then to give up 2 goals in extra time there was very we went from 3 points to 0 points in a couple of minutes, and it just the moment it, we had played so beautifully, it was very hard to accept that loss. And I did not listen to the post game show. I actually listened to the Springsteen show.
Okay, but I don't blame you. But I think the silver lining is you had 35,000 people there. See a really impressive performance from the team, from some of the players. You know, they got to see Fagundes, they got to see Pena, they got to see a lot from what this club has to offer this year. And even though there aren't a lot of W's in the last handful of games, the unbeaten streak is important. And you guys got a chance to reach a milestone in terms of points after 20 games that you've only done a few times in team history.
Yeah, no, and look, the Revs, we've never won the championship. We've been to the championship game five times, however, and we've always been an overachieving, hardworking club, and we're now playing. I think Brad has taken the level of soccer we're playing to a different level, and I really do think we're incredibly creative in the final third of the field, the pitch, and we create chances that are great in the passing. I mean, you mentioned Pena. Pena's been a great offensive force, but we have another new player, Luis Casado. And Casado's pass to Diego on our first goal was just awesome. It was great. And there's nothing like a great pass in that final third where you put it between two or three defenders, put it right on your guy's foot, and he knocks it in. And that's what happened with our first goal. And we just played so well and created so many opportunities. And you're right, to have it end that way was bad. And now we have to go on the road tonight in Minnesota and try to – I'm glad we actually have a match. Such a quick turnaround, because you got to get that taste out of your mouth. That was horrible.
Jonathan, we sit here for four hours a day, as you know, and we talk about all the major sports in this town and the popularity of them, or if there's a decrease in popularity and how much ratings play a big part in that. You know, baseball's been part of that discussion of not having those type of stars. And maybe this is an every 4 year thing with the World Cup, but the World Cup was huge this year. The response that was out there, the ratings based on that, how does that correlate with MLS? And are you seeing any rise of interest because, I mean, the stage and the lack of having a U.S. national team, did that hurt the product? Or, I mean, the ratings were huge for it.
Yeah, the ratings were still strong, but I do think the U.S. team not being in it didn't bring in that casual fan who otherwise pays no attention to soccer. Look, I don't think it's a question anymore of when soccer going to arrive. Soccer's arrived in this country. Our games that are on national TV aren't at the NFL or NBA level yet, but they're rivaling other sports leagues at the national level. And teams that have good new venues in urban environments are just crushing it. I mean, Atlanta, I think, is averaging 60,000 a game or something like that. They had 72,000 this weekend. We have a new expansion team this year, LAFC, which is LA's second team, and they have a new stadium right near LA Live, literally right next door to the Staples Center and LA Live, and the stadium's beautiful, and they have a huge waiting list for tickets. And, you know, Portland, which is new to the league in the last, whatever it is, 7-8 years, they can't, you know, they just keep expanding their venue. And these are great sports cities with urban venues, and that's really what I think the final step is here in this market for us. And I know people, we sound like a broken record, but we really have been working very diligently on it. And I think in Mayor Walsh, now we have a mayor of the city. His predecessor was really never interested in seeing this happen. I think Mayor Walsh is, and hopefully this is something that we can accomplish in his second term here. And then I think people in the city will really get to experience. When Arthur Blank built this Atlanta stadium, he built it knowing he has a soccer configuration and a football configuration, and it works. When we built Gillette, we always felt like we would be moving and probably didn't do as much as we could or should have done related to soccer, and it's been a long road. And for us, we really are focused on making that happen. And I think when we have a soccer-specific venue in a city like Boston that's both so sports-crazy but with the young millennial population who love and understand this game, I think you're going to see the energy and excitement level rival any of the other cities in this country that where soccer has been totally embraced in the mainstream sports culture.
And I think that's what people want to know. Jonathan Kraft on with us right now. I mean, the team is in a good position right now. I know it was tough to move on from Jay Heaps. He had been with you for a while, but Coach Friedel seems to really have a handle on this team. You've got some good young talent right now. So you're building the new training facility. What's next? What's the move? People want that venue, Jonathan.
No, and like I said, Mayor Walsh, I believe, really wants it. And I know people think it's just talk when we say that, and we don't get into details because we'll get into details when we have something to announce, because people aren't interested in I think, hearing anything other than we are working on it. And then when we have something substantive to talk about, we will. But in Brad Friedel, our new coach, I mean, what people don't understand about Brad holds the record, not for an American, but for any player in the history of the EPL in consecutive starts. It's 300-some-odd consecutive starts in the EPL. And he's an American. He's an American goalkeeper. And when you're the goalie and the number 10 really are the ones who have that full perspective of the field. And I think Brad, playing on some of the best teams in the world for some of the best coaches, and then coaching the U.S. Under 19 team, new great young talent around the world, knows how to coach at a completely different level. I love Jay Heaps. Jay Heaps did wonders for our team, but MLS over the last 5 years has taken huge jumps forward in terms of quality of play on the field and all of the ancillary things that go into making this one of the best leagues in the world. And that's why we are literally weeks away from breaking ground on a brand new standalone training facility for the Revolution down here, where we'll be spending millions and millions of dollars, you know, in excess of $10 million, between 10 and 20, to build a brand new training center for them. And Brad brings an expertise and an understanding of how the best teams in the world train. Head fitness person has come over to us from the EPL as well, and he brings a coaching technique and a coaching style that I think is beyond what many of the teams in our league have. And he's also brought his knowledge in MLS historically. People had gone out, and we still do this as a league a little bit, but much less. And when world-class talent wanted to come to America and experience what living in this country was like, they would come for the last 3, 4, 5 years of their career. Now, more and more, what's happening in our league is we're buying some of the young, up-and-coming talent around the world. And I think Brad, having coached the U.S. Under-19 team, really had an eye for some hidden jewels, and We've brought some guys in that he liked. You know, I think a Luis Casado is just a great example. I think Luis is 21, 22 years old. But what he's doing playing in the midfield for us, is he is a fun, fun player to watch. And we're currently working on a couple of other things that are players that have come through Brad's network that hopefully in this window that's open now we'll be able to sign. And I think for the fans who really do appreciate and love soccer, they want to see great, young, exciting talent. And then you layer that in with guys like Diego Fagundes, who came out of our academy system, who is one of the best players in the league and is still – he's played, I think, for us 8 years. He's only 22 or 23 years old. You know, you should come watch. And Matt Turner, our goalkeeper, I mean, I could go on and on. Yeah. It's the product is great, and if you like soccer – you really should come and check it out. And I know more and more people talk to me about the Revolution, so that's exciting for us too. And we will get the stadium done.
Yeah, and we appreciate you taking the time to say. But last quick one for you here, Jonathan. I'm looking at schedule events here around Patriot Place. Anything cool coming up? Like maybe next Thursday? down that area.
We get a lot of calls on it.
I'm
trying to think what date is next Thursday. Is that training camp or is that Taylor Swift?
That's it. No, that's
because I know. Believe me, with all the requests I get for Taylor Swift tickets, that could be Taylor. And I think they dovetail with each other. So
they do.
Yep. So the training camp will open up down here, and that's when we've got both teams here going full bore in the concert season, because all of our concerts are back end loaded. This place will be going nonstop. So people, pretty much you can come down here any day, and whether it's a Revolution match, Patriots training camp, concerts, or everything going on at Patriot Place, a fun place to come down to in the summer and hang out.
Zoe, you almost got a football question in there. I'm proud of you.
We're going to have Zoe, I promise, I'll come on during training camp. But I don't think
it's a big year for you guys.
I'll tell you what. When I start doing Patriot interviews and you guys throw in Revolution questions in Patriot interviews, then I'll accept Patriot questions in Revolution interviews.
Perfect. All right.
Done deal.
And we'll have Hardy. And Hardy, you are doing a great job, and you and Clyde are great. And the only thing we have to do is we have to make that show an hour rather than 30 minutes, as long as your wife can handle you being out, coming home even a little later on Saturday.
Yeah, she doesn't believe where I am to begin with, so an extra half hour isn't going to raise her suspicions anymore.
That's
so that'll be fine. All right, good.
JK, see you soon.
Listen.
Okay.
It's good to talk to you guys. Take care.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Jonathan Kraft there. He is both the investor and operator for the New England Revolution, to play tonight. They're in Minnesota. That's an 8 o'clock game you'll hear right here on your home of the New England Revolution, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I was trying to get a training camp thing in there, but I totally forgot Taylor Swift's coming. Like, that's almost bigger for me.
Yeah, you could have asked about
that. That's my favorite
artist. All right, we'll step aside here. Thanks to Jonathan for joining
us. Days down here.
And get back into the Patriots at that Revolution. You want to talk about them too? 617-779-0985.
Can they be replaced by robots?
Robots?
Doubtful.
I think it's silly.
So I can die for 95.
Ball in the hands of Tatum. Diagonal pass for Al Horford, left side. He wants to go to Jaylen Brown, posting up on Korver. That's where the ball goes. Jaylen bobbles it, spins, throws it out towards Horford. Has to get rid of it late in the shot clock. His three is no good. Smart taps the rebound out to Tatum. Attacks the paint, reverses it up, no good. Smart flies in for an offensive rebound. Puts it off the window and in. And a night that began as a masterpiece being painted by LeBron has been graffitied up by Marcus Smart.
It's the play-by-play guy, Sean Grandy.
You all right?
Yeah. I just love it when the play-by-play guy takes it to that next level. That's something he's been working on. Got all graffitied up. Yeah, that one. Pulled that one out of his left rear pocket. Just kidding.
Well, just a little while ago, Sarge told us in the headlines that Celtics, and this according to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, Celtics GM Danny Ainge and Happy Walters. By the way,
I'd laugh every time only, I hear the name Happy Walters.
Well, there's two other people I can think of in history, and both fictional, that had the name Happy. One is from Death of a Salesman. I think it's Biff and Happy were the two sons, and the other one is the booster in Blue Chips. Remember that guy,
Happy Gilmore?
Oh, yeah.
Happy Gilmore.
That's a
Happy
layup.
Gilmore's the easy one, man. It's three.
Okay.
Happy Lowman.
I know
Lowman.
What you're talking about.
What's that?
Happy Lowman, the Death of a Salesman. You're right.
Okay. Biff and Happy. Happy Gilmore.
Blue Chips is the one that drove the big car, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Big Tex.
Great actor. I believe he is no longer with us. He died prematurely. But that's it. So it's always startling to see the name Happy Walters is the name of an actual
person. What happened
here? Walters, the agent for restricted free agent, Marcus Smart, Happy Walters, the agent, and Danny Ainge seriously engaged in contract talks, potential deal range, between $46 and $50 million.
Okay, so they...
talks are ongoing.
During the regular season, they offered him 4 years at 44. And what happened to the people that were pounding the desks a week ago saying the Celtics and Danny are playing this perfectly? That he doesn't have to do anything. You're going to get him for the qualifying $6.1 million offer. That's it.
Let me tell you
something.
You don't
have to do anything.
You
got to steal.
You get, even if you got to go up from 46, let's split the difference. Say 48. Say he gets 12 a year.
Okay.
3 months ago, ask anybody, would you take Marcus Smart at $12 million a year? What's the answer?
No.
No way.
What?
Overwhelmingly, yes.
Overwhelmingly, yes.
Everyone said 15. 15 was the number.
15 or 16. Yes.
I thought you meant outside.
No.
Okay, so here. Yes.
You keep Marcus Smart for $12 million a year? Yes.
We asked the question, and Beadle did too. Is he a $10 million a year player? We all went, yes. You did, I did, he did.
$12 million? Yes. Is he 15?
Yeah, all right, okay.
But we knew that you couldn't go back to, say, a two-year, okay, two-year, what, 22, 24, and we thought maybe that could be the case. Right. Because, okay, at least you're at the number, you're not going to offend the guy. Because here all of a sudden is Nomar Garciaparra, who turned down the amount of money that you had there on a table for him, and now he's worth a hell of a lot less. Remember when Nomar turned down 4 for $60 or whatever? So Smart turned down the 4 for $44. She said, at least go back to him and say, okay, we respect you as a player. Let's go 2 for $24. We'll give you $12 million a year for 2 years. Thought that would be a good one. So now, I mean, at least they're back above north of the original number. So the player isn't offended. It gives you stability. You know you like the player. He fits your scheme. He fits what you do. And is this any protection for other guys moving forward? Meaning the uncertainty with a guy like Kyrie Irving. I don't know. Because now all of a sudden you're extending this player for a hell of a lot longer than what we anticipated.
Your coach loves him too.
Well, there you go.
Loves him.
Goes to show you that Brad Stevens has more pull for guys than people give him credit for.
We kept asking the question in the offseason, Rozier or Smart? We never asked the question, what do you think Brad Stevens prefers, Rozier or Smart?
Smart.
So if he had any input, maybe this is why the deal's getting done.
And you know what he did, too? That's funny you mentioned that, meaning about Brad Stevens. Every time we talked about Marcus Smart and his injuries, Brad Stevens always cautioned, you know, his ability coming back for what he was going to be and protected him. Saying, let's not forget, guys, this is the NBA, and that's his shooting hand. So he's a guy that you're all having these great expectations. And, yeah, we know Marcus is going to bring in the energies there. But he tore ligaments and a thumb on his actual shooting hand, and this is the NBA. He would protect Marcus Smart. That's his guy. It is his guy.
It is.
It's good for the Celtics.
It's great for the Celtics, and you talk about, you know, the stability of the team, man, going forward. I can't think of any player on that team who doesn't want Marcus Smart out there playing for him and fighting for him and diving for those loose balls. Get Marcus out here. Let him kill himself on these plays. Let him be the bad guy. Let him be a bit of an enforcer. It's not the NHL.
Marcus Smart 10 years ago. It's not that idea. But listen,
you need that attitude. If there's one thing this team might be missing right now between Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward and Jason Tatum and all the talent they got, who's going to be out there to be the mean guy? Who's
the Draymond Green guy?
The intimidator. Thank you, Jim. Draymond Green, the one guy you don't want to play against. Who do you not want? Who are you going to put out there to defend? And even if he is not the best defender in the league, guy is a pest. That guy bothers people. You put Marcus Smart on offensive players, and those guys don't like it. They do not like being guarded by Marcus. They do not like battling him for loose balls. They do not like being on the court with him down crunch time. And there isn't a game that I've seen Marcus Smart play that he didn't think or didn't act like was a must-win situation. In January against Orlando, he's playing like it is Game 7 of the conference finals. That's how that guy plays night in and night out. And that is the rarest of things in the NBA. Guys who take it seriously for games that aren't all that serious. That's why you love him. That's why you want him. Is it for shooting? No. My God. I heard Jim Murray talk. I think it was Jim who talked about
scoring. Give me a break.
You want to put an incentive in his contract for any time he takes less than 8 attempts per game, he gets a bonus? I would be all for that. Yeah, you don't want him shooting the ball necessarily.
But you know, mentally, when you're keeping this player, you're taking those misses, you're accepting those misses for what he brings you on the other end. Load up these phones on Marcus Smart now. Let's go.
Okay. 617-779-0985. Zoe told you what to do. Now we all have to do it. Sarge,
I thought you were keeping him for 6.1. What happened?
Tell Sarge to do the headlines. See if that works.
You ready?
Let's rock.
Sports Hub headlines.
All right. Developing news. ESPN reporting. Adrian Wojnarowski that the Celtics and Marcus Smart very close on a 4-year contract. Ainge apparently in serious talks with Smart's agent Happy Walters. The 4-year deal worth between $46 and $50 million. Again, that according to Adrian Wojnarowski. Other NBA news, San Antonio Spurs trading away Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green to the Toronto Raptors. In return, San Antonio gets DeMar DeRozan and a 2019 protected first round draft pick. Former Patriot cornerback Darrell Revis has announced his retirement on his Instagram account after 11 NFL seasons. NFL Network also reporting that the Saints will sign former Patriots and Giants running back Shane Vereen. New England Revolution back to work tonight after a 2-1 loss to the LA Galaxy over the weekend. They're at Minnesota, and you can listen to that game right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub starting at 8 o'clock. Revs are going for their 8th win of the year. Minnesota, they have won 3 in a row. Baseball news, Baltimore Orioles expected to trade Manny Machado to the LA Dodgers. That could happen as early as today. And the All-Star game, of course, last night with the American League winning in 10 innings, 8-6. Red Sox back to work Friday in Detroit. Headlines brought to you by Doctors Robert Leonard and Matthew Lopresti, the hair doctors of El Presidente David Portnoy at 1-800-GET-HAIR. I'm Mike Riley. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
If you think Zolak is hard to contain on air,
balls everywhere,
you should work in the same building with him.
Did Zol leave?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I don't count this as missing ones.
What's that?
Famous Happies in popular culture, because this is all being brought to the forefront now. Happy Walters is Marcus Smart's agent. He is engaged in talks with Danny Ainge on a 4-year deal worth between $46 and $50 million. Talks are ongoing. I say you don't get a lot of Happies in real life. Yeah, just he's it. Happy Gilmore. You got Happy was the name of the booster in Blue Chips. You got Happy from Death of a Salesman. People are saying, oh, you missed one.
Iron Man.
Did you know that?
Jon Favreau.
His name is Happy?
Handler. It's his boss.
I wouldn't have been able to tell you that for all the money in the world.
Oh, God. Didn't Gwyneth Paltrow name her kid Happy?
Apple.
Another toll name.
Maybe she's got one named Happy, too, but I know that her and Chris named a kid Apple.
Mm-hmm.
So,
why do you do that to children? Really? It kills them in childhood when they get to school and you got to write it down. Why did your mother call you Happy? Your mother could name you Apple.
Because with a certain amount of money, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Whatever. Marcus Smart could be staying with the Celtics. It's not a done deal, but the talks are there to keep him on board for 4 years between $46 and $50 million. That's the report. As a Celtics fan, is this money well spent?
I think so. I do. I mean, we came to the agreement that he's a $10 million a year player. He's not going to give you effort. He's a good defender. You look at the fact that they lost Avery Bradley with this type of a deal, right? Didn't Avery get 4 for $44 or something? How much was that? It was $11 million a year, right? I thought it was. I'm not sure. But that's probably your last really, really good defender prior to Marcus, as far as having that kind of defensive ability and plays with that type of edge. And he was often injured too with the shoulders, had issues with the shoulders, the ankle. But yeah, I love Smart. I do.
As long as he doesn't, start punching mirrors,
At some point you grow up too as a player, and you just gotta roll the dice a little bit. And this is also Ainge telling teams to back off.
A'Sherrod Blakely posting a story now. Again, Smart's agent, Happy Walters and the Celtics, reportedly in serious talks about a 4-year deal in the 46 to 50 range. A league source anticipated a deal would get done quickly for a number of reasons, with one that stands out more than others. Here's the quote. The source tells NBC Sports Boston, they want him back, and he's made it clear he wants to come back.
Well, there you go.
How much more do you need beyond that? Other than something close to being the amount of money that he wants. Because he knows Marcus Smart is also smart enough, no pun intended, to know that he is not going to get the amount of dollars that he truly wants. I think he knows his value, and you're going to have to. All right, so he wants to be back. The Celtics
did he help you from
back,
the All-Star break on? The answer is yes.
Yes, and
even though he got hurt,
can you get close to the amount of money that he wants?
You're already there at the 4 for $44.
I think so.
We're in the ballpark. I know what you mean to us. Now you've proven to us that you could, grow up. You screwed up. You admitted your mistake. Then you go and you hurt your hand on the court, totally unrelated to the injury that you had by punching a mirror or a table or whatever the hell you want to call it. And you came back and you played your ass off in the playoffs for us. And that does something. That gives us reason to say, let's get back to sort of around the ballpark that we were at when we put it on the table and you said no. Obviously, we've allowed you now to test the market. You see, it's not a crazy market for you.
Right.
So we like you. You like us. Let's get it done.
And that's the other part of the quote. Both sides have a better idea of what his value is in this market now. And I think they have come to a number that works for both of them. That's it.
All right.
So we'll take your calls on this, 617-779-0985. We begin with Mike in Malden. Mike, you're on with Zolak and Bertrand Hardy and for Beetle. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
What's up, Mike?
So I can't stand, and this is like, I've already heard this dive a little bit, and I hate people saying, why do you sign him to 12 years if you could have had him at the qualifying offer to 1 year at 6.8? The problem with the qualifying offer, people don't realize this, if he had signed that, you would have lost his bird rights. So effectively, you would have had him on a one-year lame duck contract, and you never would have been able to bring him back at the end.
That's a good point.
The only way to guarantee he stays here long-term was to sign him and, you know, maybe overpay him a little bit in year one, but you're locking him up and ensuring that he's going to be with this team for the long-term.
I think it was the option the Celtics could have done, and people said, boy, you could have saved money, and that would have been the wise thing to do, sit him there at 6.1. But to his point, you know, Mike's point there, you got to do what's right for the organization. If this guy is part of your plans and he fits your role perfectly here, then make sure you keep the guy past this year. You don't have any guarantees Kyrie Irving is going to be here. Does this help, I don't want to say ease what you're going to do, but have the ability to keep a guy like Rozier, maybe go get another player, say if Kyrie does bolt?
I think it helps keep Kyrie here. I think it keeps a team intact that's got a decent chemistry right now. He's, you know, Marcus Smart is something beyond a role player, but part of what he does on this team is keep things on an even keel out there for the rest of the players, for the real top tier talent guys to go out there and do what they do, knowing that Marcus Smart is down there to do some of the dirty work. I think it helps. You don't look at it as a fail safe for if Kyrie bolts. I think you look at it as something to help. Yeah, help re-sign Kyrie beyond this year.
Yeah.
Warren in Rhode Island, you're on with Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle. What's up?
Yes. Good afternoon, guys.
Great good afternoon, guys
doing
Warren.
Excellent job. I'm a little perplexed though. You guys, I mean, discussing Smart's contract, and I'm a little surprised that Danny Ainge. This raises a series of questions. Yeah, this guy punches the mirror. He's not an offensive threat. Is he some kind of, you know, cheerleader behind closed doors here that we're not seeing? Some happy cheerleader, I should say. But what does Marcus Smart bring to the team, guys? Please help me unravel this story here.
I don't watch the team as closely as a green teamer, but the guy brings one hell of an energy. He really does. Defensive prowess, leadership, grit. You know, the grit and balls that the green teamers love. I appreciate what he brings.
He is a defensive pest like no one else on that team. And this is a team that
finds a way to get to the bucket, plays bigger than what he is.
When you lost,
doesn't back down from people, doesn't get intimidated.
When you lost Avery Bradley, you lost part of your defensive identity with this team. Marcus Smart helped fill that void. Al Horford is another. Look, you can say the same thing about any number of guys who play who don't make huge impacts on the stat sheet every night. Marcus Smart is. He's beyond an energy. Like he's something more than like an energy provider. He's something beyond a defensive specialist. He does a lot of things at a high level that are looked upon as less important by players who have greater talent. Okay. And whether that's defense, whether that's filling in the final minutes of the first quarter and rolling into the first minutes of the second quarter, Marcus Smart goes out there on the court. You don't lose ground in games. When your other guards are getting a breather, you don't put Marcus Smart out there and expect to lose ground in whatever lead you've built up or lose more ground if you're playing from behind. Marcus Smart does more than just tread water. He goes out there and he's an actual presence on the floor. He's not a 38-minute per night type of guy. He's not the guy who's going to go out there and get it done from start to finish. The offense isn't going to go through him. But he does more than just provide a breather for your starters. He's an important part of that team. I think they look upon him as being something greater than a role player, less than a starter, but something that this team needs as part of their identity.
All right, we'll continue with more of these calls next, and then I think at the top of the hour we'll get back a little bit into the Brandon Cooks stuff with that ridiculous contract that he signed with the Los Angeles Rams, and not only how it impacts the Rams, the league, and how it impacts some of the stars on your team.
And more internet analysis on Brandon Cooks, because we enjoyed the first one so much
from
McLovin. We've got more of that to share with you, too.
Right.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Wednesday afternoon. Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beatles. Sergeant on headlines. He'll get us updated here in just a few more minutes. We'll get back to the Brandon Cooks conversation as he has a big, fat new contract with the LA Rams. But we got loaded lines here on Marcus Smart, who is reportedly pretty far along in talks, his agent and Danny Ainge, about a four-year deal between $46 and $50 million. And I said from the beginning, if you can get Marcus Smart somewhere for like 12 a year, you do it. You do it immediately. You start talking 15, 16, what he thinks he might be worth and what he thinks he can get out there. That's where you have to step back and say, okay, you know, how much does he really contribute? How much do you really need this player? But at 12, they could have done it 4 and 48. Yes, absolutely. You keep this team together. More importantly, you see what this team can do from the get-go with everybody healthy and ready to go from the start of the season. We'll get to your calls now. We'll start with Paul and Bill Ricca. What's going on, Paul? You're on with Zoe and Hardy. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
What's up? I'm with Tom Glavin. What's going on?
That's right. That's right. Hey, listen. When people call and say that, you know, Smart's getting overpaid and this is too big of a deal, I don't really think that they follow the game. You guys put it perfectly. He brings a different energy. You know, he's a defensive player. You know, does he throw up threes and it's frustrating to watch? Absolutely.
Sure.
But you know what? I will absolutely take him throwing up bricks if it means that he can shut down some of the premier offensive guys in the league. I think that's definitely worth the money.
And I'm not going to tell you it's not frustrating when he takes some of those shots, especially late in games. But you're right. The give and take, you know, what you get for what you get out of Marcus Smart, it's totally worth it. It's completely worth it. For him bothering some of the best offensive players in the league defensively, yes.
He's played in big games now, too. I mean, it goes with you've played against the best. You played against LeBron James in playoff series.
He's not thrown off by the big spot.
As much as we like to say, hey, you know, even though we knew they weren't going to get to the finals and win it, it's nice that Jason Tatum got a taste of it. It's nice that in year two, Jaylen Brown, and the way they're all trending, hey, Marcus Smart's been in it longer than them. And it's a guy that's been here. He's been a Celtic. He's one of yours. You handpicked him. And it's a nice story. You're not having to go on the outside and sign guys like Exum for the contract that he got. And I think Danny realizes, okay, if Exum's in it 3 for 30 or 33 or whatever the hell that was, we're in there for Marcus. We're already there. So let's get it done.
Jake and Milton, you're on with Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy in for Beetle. What's up, Jake?
What's up, Zo? What's going on, guys?
What's up?
So, I'm admittedly a green teamer, so I'm just going to get that on the table right now. But there's two reasons why this is the best realistic move that the Celtics could have made this offseason. Number one is Brad Stevens. He's on the record saying that no one understands what the Celtics want to do offensively and defensively better than this guy, Marcus Smart. Second reason is Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge knows how important this guy is because who is he? He is exactly who Danny Ainge was on those 1980s Celtics teams. He is that guy who's going to get his nose in there. He's gonna do the dirty work so Kyrie and Tatum don't have to, you know, get in the faces of the opponent. Smart is already going to be doing that for us.
I love it, Jake.
I think Danny understands you need that guy. I don't think Danny really looks at him and say, okay, this is what I am. This is what I was, because I think the game has changed. If Danny could have it this way, he'd have 10 of the same guys, you know, playing in fluidity to where you've got 6'8", 6'10" guys that could all run and shoot and all handle the ball. Because that's the way the game's trending. That's the way it's going. You look at Golden State and what they have, but it's a guy like Draymond Green. When things get bad and things get dirty, and there's somebody who needs to chase the course or complexion of a game, it's a guy like that. Marcus, and that's what you have in Smart.
Marcus Smart is one of the players on the Celtics that makes you not want to play them on any given night.
You're not breaking the bank on this guy, too.
Right. Hey, do you want to go up against Kyrie?
Seriously.
No, because he can go off for 35 points. What about Al Horford?
Al Horford's worth 30, but this guy isn't worth 12 a year. Come on, give me a break.
Al Horford,
this is like the Brandon Cooks argument.
But you think about it, so you
overpayment.
You look at their top-tier players, right? Al Horford. Does Al Horford scare you going into a game against him?
No.
You recognize what he does, especially as a basketball
person. He does all the little things really, really well.
He does all the little things, and he might, you know, he's going to kill you in small weight. Marcus Smart, I got to play against Marcus Smart tonight.
He's Brad Marchand.
That's a valuable thing. Right.
I mean, it's
Marchand has the offense now, too.
Well, now he does, but I mean, he's Brad Marchand of 4 years ago.
Right.
It's a guy you really don't want to have to deal with, but he's a pest, and he's going to get in your hair, and he's going to bug you, and he's going to take you out of your game. Fair enough. You do that, and you allow everybody else to dribble, drive, score, come off picks, set picks. Let them do all the offensive work.
It also gives the team that he's that practice guy, I'm sure, that they're like, oh, he's going full steam again at practice. We got to do
it
again.
He's a walk-on. He's a walk-on.
Come on, Marcus. What are you doing?
Mark in New Hampshire. What do you got for us, Mark?
What do you got?
So, I mean, obviously, his defense is great. You know, his versatility. You mentioned earlier, he can guard anybody, and with his thickness, he does such great things. But I think one thing that we are overlooking with him is he does have an offensive prowess. That is, he's really good off the pick and roll. He does a great job of setting up the big guys, and as he's driving, he does a great job of kicking to the shooters. So I think there is value. We always look at the three-point shot, and he doesn't do very well. Although I will say, his three-point shooting is better. He used to shoot just straight-up bricks, and his arc is much better, so at least it doesn't bounce off as hard. But there's more to his game than just the three-point shot as far as the offensive aspect.
And I think he's a good rebounder, too. I mean, he'll get in there, mix it up. He'll also keep possessions alive. How many times down the stretch did you see somebody misses a shot, he goes in, gets a dirty board, kicks it back out, and you have a second scoring opportunity? Those are huge in this league, especially in playoff series.
How many guys
in this league can do that?
Right.
Draymond Green's like the other guy.
I wouldn't go so far as to say that, you know, it's offensive prowess as it is that grit that keeps plays alive.
Here's a question. Would you rather the Celtics went the length and extended a guy like an Avery Bradley and kept him instead of a guy like Marcus Smart? Remember we went through that time where guys like Mike Gorman said Avery Bradley was untouchable here?
Yeah.
You know, as far as that guys you would put up in a trade?
I mean, to go back and set.
To go back. Revisionist history. Gun to the head. Same type of contract, right? Same amount of years. Rather have an Avery, you know. You probably would rather have the Avery Bradley type player. But then you wouldn't have fell in love with Marcus Smart if Avery Bradley was here. So, whatever.
It would have been nice to keep Bradley for his defense.
Ready to go, Sarge?
Let's go.
Oh, God.
Where's he going?
He's got to get ready to do his headline.
I'm ready to go.
All right. I was gonna grab one more Marcus Smart call.
Oh, we could do that.
All right. Just very quickly. Mike and Marblehead. Go ahead, Mike.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Hello.
Hey, gee. I didn't even know you guys were already there. So the Marcus Smart thing. So, as Felger used the analogy, the licorice thing, the MyPillow, whatever. I don't think there's more polarizing Celtic that I can remember in the past 10 years, whatever side you're on. I think, what is he, 23 years old? I think 4 years is certainly doable. But a guy that plays with his intensity, he's subject to injury. Now, I think partly there's a reason why Marcus Smart is as good as he is defensively. It's because he's got to try harder because he lacks certain skill set on the other aspect of the game, and that's the offensive side. So part of the reason why he does that is what makes him so valuable. But at the same time, when people say he makes all these great plays, these game-winning plays, well, I think the fact of the matter is if he doesn't lead the team in turnovers, as he does every year with about 3 turnovers a game, and he hits more than 30% from beyond the perimeter, well, you're not necessarily – you're up by 8 or 10 than you are in a 1 or 2 possession game at the end. So I think there's both sides you can look at what he does and what he adds value. I think if it's less than 5 years, it's okay. And if it's, like you said, Hardy, about $12 million a year, it doesn't prevent us from making a big sign, and it allows us to maybe move him in a year or two in a trade, then I think it's a win-win because he does have that intangible. Again, if he maybe turns the ball over a little less, shoots a little bit better from the free throw line, the perimeter, I think it can really add value, and I think that's to be determined. You know, he's only 23, I believe.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something else, Mike, and thank you for the call. the notion that he turns the ball over, yeah, he turns the ball over. But his plus minus, in terms of what the Celtics do while he's on the court, his plus minus is phenomenal, and it was in the postseason too. I mean, you think that they're, you know, you'd be losing ground if you're going to, and it's also tough to say without Kyrie Irving out there for the Celtics in the postseason, but he's not a detriment, even if he's not out there doing a lot of the scoring himself, and even if he's turning the ball over, the plus minus still remains high when he's out there. All right, Brandon Cook signed a monster deal with the LA Rams. We not only have Zoe's analysis of this, but we have analysis from around the World Wide Web. We listened to one earlier. We're going to hear another one coming up after Sarge's Hub Headlines.